Okay, today's daf is Moed Katan, daf Chav Ches, the second to last daf of Maseches Moed Katan. Our goal today will be to get through daf Chav Ches Amud Aleph, leaving us Amud Beis and the very little bit of daf Chav Tes for tomorrow. We left off in the middle of daf Chav Zayin Amud Beis. We're about to go through three different statements of Rabbi Yochanan and three additional statements of Rabbi Amar Rav about Avelus, and then the Gemara is going to talk about how long a person is supposed to mourn, what the different levels of Avelus are, the 3 days of Bechi, and then the 7 days of Avel, and how much is considered to be Yoser Midai, to be overdoing the mourning. Then on the top of Chav Ches Amud Aleph, the Gemara is going to talk about the deaths of Miriam and Aaron respectively, and how we see that there's kapara in the deaths of great tzaddikim. The Gemara is going to talk about how the length of an illness and the age of the deceased can tell us about what type of death they had. And the Gemara is going to talk about the role of mazel in a person's life by contrasting two gedolei amoraim who had vastly different lives. And it must have been, even though they were equally tzaddikim, must be because of mazel. And then the amud on Chav Ches Amud Aleph is going to conclude with seven stories of the deaths of great amoraim. So we left off on Chav Zayin Amud Beis. We are at Amar Rabbi Yochanan, about 12 lines into the wide lines. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Avel Kivin Shenianea Rosho, Shuv Ein Menachem in Roshon Leishevitzlo. Once an Avel shakes his head, at that point the Menachemin should get up. They're not supposed to stay with him. They're not supposed to sit with him anymore. Well, that's the symbol, once he shakes his head. What's the Svara? What's the idea of shaking the head? Rashi explains, Rosho is near a shenichem atzmo. It seems that he's already provided himself with a nechama. Mukhi Yosef says similar to that in the second parish. He says that it's a derech ha'avel to sit b'kovod rosh. If he's minanei rosho and he lifts up his head, it's showing that he's no longer b'kovod rosh, that he's already achieved a certain level of nechama. Once he's achieved this level of nechama, there's no longer a mitzvah to be menachem. The point of being menachem is someone who needs a nechama. He no longer needs a nechama once he's lifting up his head. The Ritz Geis writes that since an Avel is quoted by the Rishonim, since an Avel is also b'sheil shalom, he says a different pshat, that since an Avel is also b'sheil shalom, he can't say tzeischem l'shalom, have a good night, you know, it's over, I'm going to sleep now. So he has to just shake his head. So that's the symbol, the sign that he's done and that everyone should go home, is his version of tzeischem l'shalom is minanei rosho. Similarly, the Meiri writes that the Avel is minanei rosho means that you should be able to, you should try to read the body language of the Avel when he had enough. If a person shouldn't say, well, I came all this way to be Menachem Avel, so I'm going to get my money's worth. I'm going to stay here for an hour. There was traffic. I didn't get here till 11:30 at night. I'm going to be here till 1 o'clock in the morning. I'm not going back. No, if the Avel doesn't want it anymore, if he had enough, he's Menanei Rosho. You're not there for yourself. You're there for the Avel. Then the Menachemin have to know that it's time to go when the Avel indicates that it's time to go. Vam Rabbi Yochanan, second statement of Rabbi Yochanan, HaKol Chayavan Laman B'nei Nasi, Chutz Me Avel V'Chola. Everyone is supposed to stand for a Nasi, except for an Avel and a Chola. They need not stand for a Nasi. Pashtus is because the halacha of standing for Talmud Chacham, the Gemara in Kiddushin, the Flamed Beis, says we are not omid, for example, Bebeis HaKisei, because it has to be a Kima Sheyesh Bo Hidur. It has to be a standing that has a certain sense of Hidur, a certain sense of respectfulness to it. An Avel and a Chola, it's not a Kima Sheyesh Bo Hidur. There's no Hidur in the standing of an Avel and a Chola. V'am Rabbi Yochanan, l'kol amr lehem shavu, chutz mi'avel v'chola. Everybody else who stands, the Talmud Chacham would tell them to sit back down, except for an Avel and a Chola. Tosfos explains that we're talking about Talmid Chachamim that are omid mipnei anasi, where the Nasi has to say to them shavu in order to return the kavod. Meaning the Nasi comes in, the Talmid Chacham stand up to be mechabed the Nasi. The Nasi is supposed to return the kavod by saying, no, don't stand for me, you're Talmid Chachamim. If he doesn't say shavu, though, they're not supposed to sit. It's supposed to be an Avel and a Chola where they don't need to stand in the first place. So even if they stand, the Nasi doesn't have to tell them shavu. They're allowed to sit without getting the permission because they never had to stand in the first place. That's how Tosfos understands. The Rosh, however, writes that no, it doesn't mean that he doesn't have to say to them shavu. Rather, it's aser to say to an avel shavu. It sounds like he's saying shav ba'avelu shalach. Go sit in your avelus. That this is this Koron Shulchan Aruch. Shav b'choli shalach, sit in your illness. Because the word shav, the word shave, the word yeshiva, doesn't only mean to sit, it means to stay. Vasukos teshvu means that we live in Sukkos for 7 days. It doesn't mean that we sit in Sukkos necessarily, we do that also. Shavu lachem poem machamar doesn't necessarily mean sit, it means stay. So when you say shavu to an avel, that sounds very disrespectful, that you're telling him that he should stay in his avelus, that he should continue to suffer from mourning. So therefore we don't say such things to an avel. Now three statements of Rabbi Yehuda Amarav. Amar Rabbi Yehuda Amarav, avel yom rishon asu lechol lechem mishalo. An avel on the first day of his avelus is not allowed to eat from his own food. Rabbi Yehuda Amar le rachman li cheskel v'lechem anashim lo sochel. That from the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Yecheskel not to eat other people's food, we see normally an avel would dafke eat other people's food, wouldn't eat his own food. Rabbi Rav Yosef machlofi sudasayu la'adadi, and Rabbi and Rav Yosef would switch their meals for each other. They had a deal that when each one became an avel, the other one would feed them. They had a system set up that they wouldn't eat their own food. There is a machlokas rishonim what the reason of this concept of sudas havra'a is all about. Rabbeinu Yeruchim in a Siv Chav Ches writes in the name of the Rush that the reason for Avraha is because the Avel is worried and he's sad and he's caught up with his mace, so he just doesn't have the motivation to eat on day one. He doesn't feel like eating on day one, so we are chayiv to make sure that we make sure that he eats. So the chiyuv is dafka on Yom Rishon, where his tsar is very great. It's the Yom Mar, so we give him to eat as sort of a nechama, that we show that we're worried about him and we're taking care of him. The Tur and the Shulchan Aruch say that it sounds a little different. In the Shulchan Aruch, in Sim Shinayin Ches, when it talks about Suda Savra, they say that an avel is also to eat the Suda Rishon Mishalo. Sounds like it's an iser for the avel to eat Mishalo. It's not that there's din of Suda Savra, that the avel just doesn't feel like eating, and therefore it's our chiyuv to make him feel better. No, it's a din in avelus that the avel is not allowed to eat a sudu mishlo. There's a certain simcha in being able to have your own food and being able to get your own food. So he doesn't have that simcha memela. He's not allowed to have that simcha memela. The only way he's going to eat is if we give him something. But it really, fundamentally, is mitzido. It's that he has an iser to eat mishlo. That sort of Moshe analyzes it this way in the tshuva in Yerodei Chelpei Simchav Samaches. In Igros Moshe, he says according to Rabbeinu Yeruchim, the fact that an avel is not allowed to eat mishlo is so that other people can give him what to eat. The din avraha is a din in enabling others to give him what to show him comfort and to give him what to eat. And according to the Torah and the Shulchan Aruch, the Ikar din of avraha is that it's usher for him to eat mishalo, and that's what creates the chi of lahavroso. So according to Rabbeinu Yeruchim, it's the chi of avraha that makes it that the avil's not going to, that it's usher for the avil to eat mishalo. It's because there's a chi of on the community to give him something. Whereas according to the Torah and the Shulchan Aruch, no, it's the avil's iser to eat that creates the chi of Avraha. It goes in the other direction. Therefore, Moshe writes, nafkamina between the two is if there's a Havraha b'moed. If there's Havraha on Chol HaMoed. According to Rabbeinu Yeruchim and the Rambam, there's a din Havraha b'moed, even though by Moed there's no Isser Achil Mishalo, because there's a chi of Simcha on Moed, so it's the whole thing is a din in Simcha. But nevertheless, there is a chi of Havraha, since the purpose of Havraha is so that he'll eat, and if he doesn't feel like eating, you're giving him to eat, and you're going to make him feel like he's eating, even though he's not knowing dini avelus per se, but he still doesn't feel like eating. So the community still has that chiyuv. Whereas according to the Torah and the Shulchan Aruch, that the purpose of the avelus is because he's not allowed to eat from his own food, so there's a mitzvah lavroso. So then it turns out that on Moed, where there is no iser to eat mishalo, because there's no avelus on Moed, there would be no chiyuv avra. So that would be the nafkamina of Moshe suggests. Rav Shechter writes in Ginas Egos, maybe a different nafkamina. He formulates the machlok a little bit differently. He says that according to some Rishonim, the din of Havra'a is one of the Nihuge Avelus. Why is it one of the Nihuge Avelus to dafka take food from someone else? He says it seems that Geder Inyanohu Laharos Hech Shekol Bnei Adam Kulam Tzricha Mechel Da'asheni, that the purpose of Havra'a as a Nihuge Avelus is to show how people need each other, how people rely on each other. And therefore, when someone dies, there's a great chisim. chisaron. So we're demonstrating the necessity of people relying on each other by having the avel rely on others for food. By demonstrating how people rely on each other, we then feel the pain of the loss all that much more, because now we have someone that we relied on that is no longer there. So that's the purpose of Suda Savra. And therefore, according to that, he says, even if the neighbors don't send him a Suda Savra, he still can't eat Mishalo, the Suda Rishona. Not like most poskim hold that, no, the reason Novel's not allowed to eat Mishalo is so that other people will have the ability to do that mitzvah, that chesed of Suda Savra, which would mean, therefore, if there's no one to give him a Suda Savra, he has no iser to eat Mishalo, right? It wouldn't be an iser to eat Mishalo, so that would be a very simple nafkamina. What if they don't give the Avel Suda Savra? Is it still aser to eat Mishalo? If the purpose is to show that we need to rely on each other and that we're not self-sufficient, so it's still aser to eat Mishalo, because he has to show that he's not self-sufficient. But if it's about providing others with the opportunity to do the mitzvah of giving a Suda Savra, well, then he provided them and no one did it, so now he's allowed to eat. There's no iser for him to eat. Another nafkamina of Shabta suggests in this machlokas we've shown him of the geder of Suda Savra is that a lot of times what happens is that the kavura happens in the middle of the day and all the neighbors are at work and they're all busy and people don't have time in the middle of the day to run and drop off a Suda Savra. So what does the Chevra Kadisha do? They'll bring the Suda Savra the night before. The person dies l'mashal at right after Tzeisa Kachav, night time. So they're not going to do the kavura that night. They're going to do a tahara. They're going to do, and the kavura is going to be sometime the next day. They'll do a levaya at 10 o'clock in the morning, 9 o'clock in the morning, something like that, and the kavura is going to be at 11 o'clock in the morning. No, everyone's at work. No one's going to drop off a Suda Savra at that time. So they'll come the night before while they're still onanim, well before the kavura, and they'll drop off in the refrigerator of the avel, or maybe while they're at the levaya, even they'll drop off, where they'll know the code to the house, and they'll drop off in the refrigerator a Suda Savra. So is that appropriate? Well, it may depend on what the nature of Suda Savra is. If Suda Savra is b'toras tanchumei avelim, it's a way of doing nichum avelim, so it's not time for nichum avelim. You don't do nichum avelim when meso mutal lefanav. If the focus is on the people providing the suda, and that's their way of doing nichum avelim, they shouldn't be doing nichum avelim. They shouldn't be doing that meisa of nichum avelim when the person's not yet an avel, when the person is still an onen. But if the focus is simply that it's asr lechol mishalo, that he's not allowed to have the meal from his own food because he has to show that he's dependent, so then it's okay if they drop it off beforehand. He's not being ochel mishalo, he's eating food that was provided to him by others. That idea that there's no nichum avelim before the kavura is a halacha that's often ignored nowadays. For some reason, and I'm not sure why, maybe it's the funeral homes that did it, it became customary that prior to a funeral, the avelim sit in a room in the funeral home, and all the people that are coming to the funeral, if they get there a few minutes early, go and are menachim the avelim before the levaya. That's against the halacha. You're not allowed to be menachim an avel before he's royal nechama, before he can be mekabel nechama. You could sign a guest book or something like that so you can know you're there. Or so that's fine, but they shouldn't make the avelim available for nichum avelim at that time. That's not a time of nichum avelim at all. Okay, next statement. Ravam Ravidom Rav. Ravidom Rav says mace be ir kol bnei ir asurim basiyas melacha. When there's a mace in the city, all the bnei ir are not allowed to do melacha. Everything has to stop. Rav Hamnuna ikla lidromasa. Rav Hamnuna went to dromasa. Shama kol shipura deshachva, and he heard the sounds of the shofar because someone had died. Chaza hanachinshi de ka'avdi avidita, and he saw some people were continuing to do work. Amar lahu lav hanachinshi b'shamta. So he said, these people should be in a shamta. They should be in a cherem. What are they doing work for? Lo shachvi yiku b'masa. Isn't there a dead body in town? How could they continue to work? Amrulei chavrusa yiku b'masa. They said, yeah, but there are chevras. Chavrusa Rashi says, chavrusa sein she'elu kovr meisham shalom levadam, ve'elu kovr meisham shalom levadam. There's a system worked out who's responsible for whose burial. The reason for the Isser apparently to do work while there's a mace there is that everybody has to make sure that the kavura happens. But if you have a system set up where the community makes sure they have a chevra kadisha that sees to it that the person is buried, so the rest of the city doesn't have to stop doing their work. The chevra kadisha is taking care of it. That's cool that the community already took care of it. So he said, you're right, okay, then it's mutter, I take back the cherim. Vam Rabbi Dom Rav. Rabbi Dom Rav says the third statement, kol meskash al meso yosem idai al mes acher hu boche, that if a person is miskashal mesa yosem yidai, he overdoes his mourning, he has too hard of a time with the mace. Ultimately, it's going to be a skula for the negative that he's going to cry over another mace. The Ritva writes that if he's miskash al mace, it seems that he's misonin al adayan, that he has complaints against the Kodesh Baruch Hu, and therefore, whenever one has complaints against the Kodesh Baruch Hu, up in Shemayim, they're poseach es pinkaso, they open up his notebook and they see, okay, what else does this person have that we need to visit upon him? So that's why it's al mace acher uboche, he's going to come to suffer more, the Ritva says, because he's bringing to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's attention the idea that he's done other things wrong in his life. The Ramban on Ala Torah in Dvarim Perek Yudal Pasuk Aleph says that this is a smach l'Rabbi Seinu that they asr l'sabal al nafshem yosem midai on the pasuk of banim atem l'Hashem elokecham lo tiskodedu, because the neshamos are not holchem li'ibud, they go to an olam shekulo aruch. When one is mitzar yosem midai, he shows a lack of emuna in Tchias HaMesim, a lack of emuna in Olam Haba. He shows that he doesn't really, because he thinks this is the end, that this is the worst thing in the world. But no, Banim Atem LaHashem Elokecham Lo Tiskodu, because we're Banim Atem LaHashem Elokecham, we're Banim LaHashem Elokecham, we're an Am Kadosh, we have a Haftacha in Kiyum HaNefashos, and therefore Lo Tiskodu, we don't cut ourselves when someone dies, we don't pull out our hair, we react in a reasonably sad way, but not something that's over the top, because we know that ultimately the Neshama is still there. There was a woman in Rav Huna's neighborhood who had seven sons. One of them died, and she really overdid her crying over the child. Rav Huna sent her a message, you really shouldn't do this, this is not appropriate. Lo, she didn't listen. He sent her another message, if you're going to listen to me, then it would be good. But if you don't listen to me, you may want to prepare takrichin for another one of your children. Miss, and then another child died, and she continued to be hysterical till all of her children died. And then he said, okay, now you're going to have to prepare takrichin for yourself, and she herself died as well. That this is the result of being misabel al meso yosir midai. Al tifkul meis al tanodilo. What does this mean? Al tifkul meis, don't cry for a meis, yoser midai. It means not to cry at all. A person's supposed to cry. It means not to cry, yoser midai. Val tanodilo, yoser mikashir. Person shouldn't be moved more than he should be, more than the amount of time that one is supposed to experience and express a sense of avelus. Hag ketzad. Shloshi yamim lebechi v'shiva lahespid. There are 3 days that are reserved for bechi, for crying, 7 days for hespid, ushloshim legiyut l'tisporas, and then 30 days where there are still nihuge avelos, mikan ve'ilach, amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu yatem rachmanim, bo yosim yimeni. And then after that, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, we shouldn't be we have more rachmanos on HaKadosh Baruch Hu's children than HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself has. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, this is a reasonable amount of time. Beyond that, a person should not continue to be hysterical. This Fasemis and Shabbos, Tav Kufnun Alpha and Beis, says, shloshim lebechi means that it's that dafka, the first 3 days are reserved for crying, not more than that. But he says that it doesn't mean it does not mean that there's a chiyuv to be bocha during those 3 days. It means that there's a maximum of 3 days lebechi. And his raya is from the Gemara over there that Rabbi Chanina was shchivale barta v'lav abachi, that his daughter died and he wasn't crying. So he says from there it's not a chiyuv to cry. It's just that if one is going to cry, they're not permitted to cry more than 3 days. The Radvaz writes in the Tshuvin Chelag Gimel that someone who's bochel misabel and is morad demaos on krovim and kolshken and adam kasher, it's a midas chasidim and neviim and anshei meisa. It shows the taras nafsha achnas libo. It shows a sense of humility and a sense of tara and a sense of kedusha when one cries, and that it's not lechinam that Chazal say shoshiyam lebechi, meaning it is appropriate to cry for the 3 days. And but so it's important to get that good cry. guy in for those 3 days, but after those 3 days are over, in the next 4 days, it should be, the focus should be less about the crying, more about the hesped element, meaning lav dafka public hespedim, but talking about the mace and talking about the lessons of his life. And then after that, there's continuing avelus, but it's not in the form of bechi or hesped anymore. B'chu b'chu l'halich. The Gemara's going to have two interpretations of what this means. Amar Rav Yehuda l'halich b'lo banim, that we should cry for someone who went without children. Rabbi Shoban Levi lo azal lebei avela el manda azal b'lo bani. He would only go to a beis avel if it was a person who died without children. T'chsiv b'chu b'chu l'halich ki lo yashav od v'ra'as ha'aretz maladeto. Rav Huna Amar, Rav Huna says, no, it refers to someone else. Zesha avar avera v'shanaba. It's a reference to someone who violated an avera and then repeated the avera. And this is Rav Huna l'tamei. This is Rav Huna l'shitaso. Dam Rav Huna ki v'shav radam avera v'shanaba hutrala. Once a person does an avera and then repeats the avera, it becomes mutter for him. Imamish becomes mutter for him. All you have to do is do an avera twice, and then all of a sudden it becomes mutter. You're allowed to continue to do the avera. That's ridiculous. What it means is that if a person does an avera twice, he starts to view it like a heter. He starts to think that it's like a heter. Right? That's what they say. When you do it three times, then you think it's a mitzvah. But after the two times, you're convinced that it's already, that it's mutter. Because if I do it, so I buy in. Psychologically, that's true. When a person does something, when a person takes action on something, so he has an innate desire for consistency, that everything has to be consistent in his life. So once he does it, and he defines it as something that I do, then it must be good. Otherwise, I'm going to feel inconsistent, and I don't like to feel inconsistent. So we'll come up with whatever ways we can in our head to make it that this is the right thing to do, even though it's so clearly and so obviously not the right thing to do. The Ritva of Yerizgari is not that Rav Huna Amar Zesha Av Rav Erevishan, but the Ritva is Girsa Amar Rav Huna. So what's the difference between Rav Huna Amar and Amar Rav Huna? So he says the difference is Rav Huna Amar would imply that Rav Huna is being cholik on the first interpretation of the pasuk, that it's someone who goes below banim. But Amar Rav Huna implies that he's not being cholik. So he says that Rav Huna is not being cholik, he's just giving another drasha, that it's not only about Mishameis below banim, it's also someone that's cholik b'shurus libo and is like a kelef ha'shaval kiyo, someone who goes back to do it to the same averus over again. But it's not that he disagrees with the first pshat, or the Ritva says maybe he's explaining what do we mean by meis below banim. Maybe meis below banim doesn't mean, or holich below banim doesn't mean that a person literally doesn't have children. Holich below banim maybe refers to someone who continues to do averos and therefore he doesn't have the meisim tovim, which are the toldos of shel bnei adam. Am Rabbi Levi aval shloshi yom arishonim yiras atzmo kilu cherv munachas lo bein shtei yerchosav, that a person in his first 3 days of Avelu should see to it, should view himself as if there's a sword between his shoulder blades. Between 3 days and 7 days, he should view the sword as if it's still in the room with him, but it's off in the other corner of the room. And then after that, at least through Yud Beis Chodesh, the Rishonim point out, he should still view it as a time of danger, but not such imminent danger where it's constantly there and a constant reminder at the other end of the room, but every once in a while when he goes out in the market, he happens to run into the sword, he happens to run into the Grim Reaper, so to speak, as if something bad is likely to happen. So for the first few days of the Shulchan Aruch says, the Gemara says that Nolad Lo Ben, the Balsam Mishpacha, that if they have a son, then the Cherev goes away, then the sword goes away. That's what Shulchan Aruch quotes it, that yeah, a person is supposed to see the family feels a certain sense of trauma and a certain sense of imminent danger after the misa of somebody, but then when there's a simcha, when there's a child born into the family, that changes everything. That flips the mazel around, so to speak. So the Gemara goes on. The Mishnah had said that we never leave a woman's mita out because of the cover of the woman. That's only a woman who recently gave birth and she died from childbirth. She lost a lot of blood. blood. So there's a lot of blood. It's very dirty. It's very messy, and therefore it's not covered to leave her out because there's things getting all over the place. But other women, we can leave out their bodies in order to be maspid them properly. That even other women, because it says Vatamasha Miriam Vatikavar Sham, we learn from there Samach L'misa Kvura, and Miriam certainly was not a Yoledas, she was not a Chayah, she didn't just give birth, and she was not a Zava. Chassam Sofer writes, because how do we know she was not a Zava? Because the Gemara makes a big deal in Maseches Babasha Daf Kuf Chaf, how Yocheved at the age of 130 was able to give birth, that she was still getting her period at the age of 130. So that shows that someone who's of such advanced age would probably normally would not become a Zava, would not. So Miriam was 123 years old. Mistama, she did not just give birth, she was not a Zava, she didn't have any of these things, and nevertheless it was Samach L'misa Kvura. They still didn't leave her body out, they still buried her right away. So you see that it has nothing to do with how much of a mess it's going to make, how many bodily fluids there are, how much blood there is, nothing to do with that. It's just the general dignity of a woman that you don't want to leave her body out. Maritz Chayes just points out that this is a little bit difficult. That means we're not supposed to be maspid a woman. Beis Yosef writes in Yardeh Shin Mem Dalet, a strange line of Beis Yosef in the name of the Ramban and Torah Sa'adam, that we're maspid women. Says Beis Yosef, how do I know that we're maspid women? It's two Gemaras. There's a Gemara Megillah Chav Chesam Beis that Raphim was maspid his daughter-in-law in Beis HaKnesses, and a Gemara Rosh Shandar and Gamliel was maspid his mother, the Imo Shal Ben Zaza, a great hespid. So you see that you're allowed to be, that you're supposed to be maspid women. So Maritz Chayes asked the Kasha, but you see from here that some of Chlamisa Kvura, that you're supposed to bury them as quickly as possible. Sounds like you're not supposed to leave them Berachov HaShalir in order to be maspid them. Maybe there's a difference between Rechov HaShalir and not Berachov HaShalir. The Rav Shlomo Kluger writes in the Tshuva, no, that can't be the difference. It's got to be something else that's the difference. But anyway, that Ramban is so difficult to understand. You want to bring a Raya that you're allowed to be maspid, that it's appropriate to be maspid a woman. So what's a Raya? It's Raya from two Gemaras where you have Tanayim and Amram being maspid. Avram came, Ve'av Avram l'spod l'sara, Viliv Kosa, it's a pasuk in Chumash that Avram Avinu said a hespid for Sarah. Isn't that a much better raya than the rayas that they bring from Tanam Amram? Maybe they don't want to bring a raya from Kodem Matan Torah. Maybe because Sarah was Bas Chav, Bas Zayin, and Lagabe Tahara and Kedusha. Maybe you can't bring a raya from Sarah. Whatever it might be, apparently we're allowed to bring a raya from Miriam, so I don't know why we wouldn't be allowed to bring a raya from Sarah. Okay, Vamar Belazar, Af Miriam Beneshika Mesa. Miriam also died b'neshika, the neshika of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Asya Shem Shem Mi Moshe. Umnei Malu Nemar Ba'al Pi Hashem. So why doesn't it say Beferush by Miriam Al Pi Hashem like it does by Moshe? Because it's not nice to say that Hashem is going around kissing women, so we don't say it. But we know it that it's been a Shika Mesa. Amar Aviyami Lomanis Mechamisas Miriam Al Parshas Paraduma. Why does it juxtapose? Why does the Torah juxtapose the death of Miriam to the Parsha of Paraduma? Lomalcha to tell you Ma Paraduma Mechaperes Af Misas. Just like the Parah Aduma provides kapara, so too Misas Tzadikim provides kapara. Parah Aduma provides kapara? Parah Aduma provides tahara. A person is tamei meis, so they have the Parah Aduma in order to become tahar. Where does it provide kapara? Tosfos writes, it's not talking about Parah Aduma providing kapara on an individual level when a person has the hazah of the meichatas of the Parah Aduma sprinkled on them. No, he says, Pirish al maisa ha'egel, ukadabrina b'medrash, it's a much bigger picture, that it's mashal leben ha'shivcha she'etinef platron shal melech, omer ha'melech tova yimo, tekaneach al bena, that after the egel, it's like a woman whose child destroyed the whole palace and made a big mess. So the king says, let the mother of the child come and clean up for the child. So Klal Yisrael does an egel. An egel is a baby cow. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, let the mommy cow, let the Parah Aduma come, and that zuchus will be a kapara for the cheder egel. So broadly speaking, the concept of Parah Aduma is mechaper. The general mitzvah of Parah Aduma is mechaper for the cheder egel. But on an individual level, there's no kapara in Parah Aduma. Parah Aduma is a metayer. It's not a mechaper. Rabbeinu Chananel seems to understand that when we say that Parah Aduma is mechaper, it's because we call it a chatas, and every chatas is mechaperes. So it is the on the individual level, when a person goes through getting the sprinkling of the Parah Aduma, that in some way that's a kapara as well, meaning tumma requires tahara, but it's also a sense of kapara when a person goes from tumma to tahara. It's a very interesting topic when you learn Maseches Parah to try to figure out what exactly exactly a Parah Aduma is. Is it a Mechaper? Is it a Metaher? What exactly the nature of Parah Aduma is? When Rabbi Danny Wolf was here, I think he said that his favorite Masechta is Maseches Parah. I think he has a piece in his Sefer about Taros, about that issue, about Parah Aduma. The only person I ever met that ever said that to me, that his favorite Masechta is Maseches Parah. Amar Rav Elazar, most people don't even know it's a Masechta. Amar Rav Elazar, Lamanis Mechamisas Aaron LeBig Dei Kohuna. Why do we juxtapose the death of Aaron to the Big Dei Kohuna? Ma Big Dei Kohuna Mechaper, Na'af Misasun Shal Tzadikim Mechaperes. Just like the Big Dei Kohuna Mechaper, so to the Misa of Tzadikim is a Mechaper. Why didn't Rabbi Ami want to learn from this? This seems like a pretty good limud. Why does he have to dafka learn from Miriam and the Parah Aduma? So the Yad David explains that it doesn't make any sense for Miriam's death and the Parah Aduma to be right next to each other. Parah Aduma was in the second year that Klal Yisrael was in the Midbar. We were Mitzuv and Parah Aduma. Misas Miriam was in the 40th year. So the fact that they're juxtaposed raises a flag. So we should pay attention to that. But Big Dei Kohuna and Aaron makes a lot of sense that they're right next to each other. So that wouldn't have been a reason to question. Tan Rabbanan, Meis Pit'om, if a person dies suddenly, Zui Misa Chatufa, that's what we call a Misa Chatufa, that he was chopped up, that he was grabbed. Chol Yom Echaru Meis, Zui Misa Duchufa. If he was sick for one day and then he dies, then it's a Misa Duchufa, that he was pushed into Misa. Rabbi Chanina ben Gamliel Omer, Zui Misa Smagefa, that's considered a Misa Smagefa from plague. Shenemar ben Adam, Yineni Lokech, M'cha Asmach Mareinecha, B'magefa, Uksiv, V'adabar Elam B'boker, V'tamis Hashi B'erev, that it's the next day, it's one day. Shneyam, if a person is sick for 2 days, Umeis, Zui Misa Duchuya, that's what we call a Misa Duchuya. Gimel, 3 days, Ga'ara. Arba'a, Nezifa, it shows a certain anger or rejection by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Chamisha, Zui Misa Kaladam. A person is ill for 5 days and then he dies, that's Misa Kaladam. Presumably that it's better to have some degree of illness, some time period of illness, that a person can get his affairs in order and can prepare properly for his Petira, and that the family could prepare properly. Amr Bichanan, Mikra, what's the pasuk that tells us that 5 days is Misas Kaladam? Hein Karvu Yamecha Lamus. Hein Chad, Karvu Trey, Yamecha Trey, Ha Chamisha. Hein is one, Karvu is plural is two, Yamecha is plural is another two, so that's five. Hein Chad, Shekein Belashon Yivani, Karun La'achas Hein. Hein means is one, because in Greek the word Hein means one. Meis Mechamishim Shana Zui Misas Karis. If a person dies at the age of 50, that's kares, b'chamishim shana. B'chamishim u'shtayim shana zui misaso shel Shmuel Aramasi. If a person dies at the age of 52, that's a misa of Shmuel Aramasi. That's the death, that's the age that Shmuel was when he died. So it shouldn't be a bad simon if a person dies at the age of 52. Shishim zui misa b'dei shemayim. 60, then he knows it's misa b'dei shemayim. Amr Mazutra Maikra, what's the pasuk that tells us this? Tchsiv tava bekelach elai kavar. Bekelach begematria shisin havu. Bekelach is begematria 60. Shivim seva, a person dies at the age of 70, that's old age. Shmonim gvuros, 80 is gvuros. Tchsiv yimesh nasein vim shivim shana, vim begvuros, shmonim shana, that the typical lifespan is 70 years, but if there's gvuros, then it's 80 years. Amr Rabba, mechamishim viachishim shana, zui misas kares. Anywhere between the age of 50 and 60 is Misas Kares. V'aydelo chashvelu mishum kvodo shel Shmuel Aramasi. The reason we said before that it's only up until the age of 50 that it's Kares, when really it's up until the age of 60, is for the cover of Shmuel Aramasi. We don't want to make it look like we're casting aspersions on Shmuel. Shmuel died between the age of 50 and 60. So not everybody who dies between the age of 50 and 60 is a result of Kares, but if one is going to be Chayiv Kares, they're going to die before the age of 60. But it doesn't necessarily mean that everyone dies before the age of 60 was necessarily Chayiv Karis. Shari Tshuva writes in Shar Gimel, Rabbi Yonan, Shari Tshuva, Shar Gimel, Oskuf Chav Dalit, that the Inner of Karis is someone who was Nigzar to live for 70 years or for 80 years, and then he did an Avera for which he's Chayiv Karis, is going to die between the age of 50 and 60, he will die before the age of 60. But if a person has his initial lifespan was supposed to be less than 60 years, so then he's like Shmuel Aramasi. It could be that a person's lifespan, that was what was Nigzar Alav Nashamayim Mitchila. So it's not necessarily true that he's Chayiv Kares. On a different level, there's also the issue of Reya Mazale, that at some point when a person dies so young, we consider it to be a bad mazel that the person had to die so young. Meaning, why did he have a gezeira to live for such a short time on this earth to begin with? So that's considered to be a bad mazel, and on that level, we wouldn't name a child after someone who dies very young. But that would be a much younger age. That's not even Shmuel or Masi. We do name their children, lots of children walking around with the name Shmuel, and adults and everything. For generations and generations, we use the name Shmuel. We never hesitated to use the name because apparently he wasn't Chayiv Kares, and there's no Reya Mazale because living into the 50s is not considered to be a bad mazel. Rav Yosef Keva, Rav Moshe writes that way in the Tshuva, that when one lives into the 50s, then clearly that we wouldn't say Reya Mazale. Rav Yosef Keva Bar Shisin, Avadu Yomatova the Rabbanan, Amar Nafkili Mikares. When Rav Yosef was 60 years old, he made a Yomatova the Rabbanan, he made a party because he said, now I see that I'm Pata from Kares. So he made a party on his 60th birthday. Amar Le Abayin, he did Nafak Le Mar Mikares, Tishani Mikares, Yomi Minafik Mar. Granted, you're in the clear from Kares of years, from having your years cut short, but your days may still be cut short. Remember we said before, someone dies on the day of they first got their illness, or the day after, a Misa Chatufa, a Misa, so that you could still have. Amalei Nekotlach Miyapal Gubiyadcha. He says, yeah, but at least I'm out of the woods from Kares to Shani, so at least I have that. That's also worth celebration. That at least I don't have to worry about that. There is a minna quoted by many of the poskim that people would make a brach of Shechiyanu on their 70th birthday. The Birkei Yosef quotes such a minhag in Reish Chav Gimel, where it talks about the halachas of Shechiyanu in the name of the Chavos Yair. Now, when a person hits the age of 70, then he should dafka say a Shechiyanu. When the Tshuva Saparkasta Da'anya, he has a serious problem with this. First of all, he can say it'd be mostly Shem Shemayim Levatala. There's no din that you make a Shechiyanu. I don't know where the Shechiyanu came from. Second of all, he said hitting the age of 70 for many people just means that they spent 70 years doing Averis instead of 69 years doing Averis. Meaning, for a lot of people, it's great. For a lot of people, it's not so great. And for a tzaddik, adraba, we had the Gemara tells us about very holy Tanayim who were crying and very nervous about their death because living longer gives them more opportunity for Torah and mitzvahs, gives them more opportunity for tzedek l'derek. So when a person advances in years and gets older and older, why would you want to celebrate? You would want to be sad that more days have passed a person by. So Saparkasa Danya is not so excited about this, but you do see that Yamatov l'Rabbanan. So he says, okay, I'll give you that. You can make a Yamatov l'Rabbanan, but not to say a bracha. Don't say a Shechiyanu. Make a Yamatov l'Rabbanan. Nevertheless, they say that the Panovich Rav was once called into the Chafetz Chaim on his and the Chafetz Chaim said, it's my 70th birthday. I bought a beged chadash, so I'm going to say a Shechiyanu on my birthday and the beged. That way, it wouldn't be a chashash bracha levatala. That the Chafetz Chaim held it was kedai to buy a new beged to say a Shechiyanu on his 70th birthday. So there is such a minhag. Anyway, Tanalu Zuga de Mahadiyav Lo Shanu Elish Lo Yigil Gvuros. Avli Gil Gvuros Vimisis Nashika. That's only, I'm sorry, I skipped a line. Rav Huna Nachnaf Shei Pidom. Rav Huna died suddenly. Havakadagi Rabbanan. The Rabbanan thought, what does that say about Rav Huna? So Tanalu Zuga de Mahadiyav Lo Shanu Elish Lo Yigil Gvuros. Avli Gil Gvuros Vimisis Nashika. If a person dies suddenly after the age of 80, that's a Misis Nashika. Nothing to worry about. Amar Rav Chai B'niyum Mazoni Lo Bezuchusi Talimilsa El B'mazal Talimilsa. How long a person lives and his children and how much food he has, that doesn't really depend on his zechus. It really depends on his mazel. The question Tosas asks the question. The Gemara in Shabbos says Ein mazel li Yisrael. So he says, yeah, Ein mazel li Yisrael doesn't mean that there's no mazel at all. It means that Klal Yisrael has the ability to be meshana the mazel with our zechuyos. How do we know that it's totally a mazel? The Rabbi Rav Chista Travai Rabban Tzadikav. Take a look at two great tzadikim, Rabbi Rav Chista, Mar Matzli Vasi Mitra, Mar Matzli Vasi Mitra. They were both able to daven, and on command it would rain. Rav Chista Chaya Tishrin V'Tatan Shnin, Rabbi Chaya Arbayin. Rav Chista lived to the age of 92, the ripe old age of 92, and Rabbi lived for only 40 years. Be Rav Chista Shisin Iluli, Be Rabbi Shisin Tichli. By Rav Chista's house they had 60 weddings, and by Rabbi's house they had 60 levayas. By Rav Chista Smidul Kalvi V'Mitvi. By Rav Chista's house they would feed fine flour to the dogs. They had so much fine flour, and the dogs didn't even want it because they were so satiated. By Rabbi Nahamad Tesari Linshi V'Mishtakach. They would give coarse bran to people, and there wasn't even enough to feed the people. Vamarava Haniflas Mili Boy Kame Shemaya. Rava said there were three things that I asked for Kodesh Baruch Hu. Tarti Yavali, Chadol Yavali. One of them was granted to me, two of them were granted to me rather, and one of them was not granted to me. Chuchmase Rav Huna, Va'utre Rav Chista V'Yavali. I wanted the Chachma of Rav Huna and the wealth of Rav Chista, and that was granted to me. And Vasnase Rabba Rav Huna, Lo Yavali. But I wanted the Anivus of Rabba Rav Huna, and that was not granted to me. Frekta Marsha, it shouldn't have been a shock to him that it wasn't granted to him. Hakol bidei shemayim chutz mi yerushamayim. Anivus is a midah, it's a chelik of yerushamayim. So why would he think that it would be granted to him? Says the Marsha, you see from here that even though hakol bidei shemayim chutz mi yerushamayim, a person should be mevakesh min hashamayim, that he should be helped, that he should, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should give him a little push, should give him a little help. Habal the tire, the Gemara in Yuma says, Mesayein lo, someone who wants to do good, someone who wants to be better, so he gets helped min hashamayim. Rav Sa'orim Achua de Rava Hava. The Gemara now tells seven stories. We're not going to get seven. Let's try to get through one. Rav Sa'orim was the brother of Rava Hava. Yosef Kameh de Rava was sitting in front of Rava. Chazit Hava Kameh Namnim. He saw Rava was dozing. Amar Le, Lemele Mar de Lo Tzaron. So he said, Rava said to him, tell the Malach HaMavis to leave me alone. Amar Le Mar Lav Shushmini Hu. So his brother said to him, Rava, aren't you a good friend of the Malach HaMavis? Meaning you hang out with Malachim. You're a big tzaddik. Amar Le Kivan de Imser Mazala. Lo ashkachbi. So soon, once my mazel has been given over to him, he's not going to listen to me anymore. Amalei l'schazi limar. So his brother said to him, okay, obviously you're dying. So when you die, let me know. Come back to me in a dream. Tell me what happened. Tell me if it was painful. Ischazi le. He came back to him and he showed him. Amalei havalei l'mar tzara. So he said, was it painful to you? Amalei kirivda de kusilta. It was like going through bloodletting. Meaning it wasn't. It didn't tickle, but it wasn't so terribly painful. It was like the prick of the bloodletting that a person does. It was somewhat painful, but apparently the experience is not the same for everybody, because the next story is going to tell us that for someone else it wasn't painful at all, but it was scary. So everyone has a different death experience. All right, Be'ez Hashem, tomorrow we'll pick up with the next six stories on the bottom of Chalchesim Rav and try to finish the Masechta.